God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking today about one of men's fears. Judging by some of the letters that I get, this is a fear that's rather common, moving toward marriage, that business of moving toward marriage. Now, it is obvious that God's will for most men is to marry. There are some, Jesus said, who are born eunuchs. Some are made eunuchs, and some become eunuchs for the kingdom of God. A eunuch is a man who is sexually sterile. Someone has referred to the men in their 30s as the postponed generation. Now, there are many reasons for this. I think that the feminist movement has put all sorts of new fears into men's minds, and God knows they had enough fears before the feminists came along. Jobs nowadays require higher training, longer schooling, and let's face it, women are all too available, and commitment isn't necessary. Too many men are getting what they want from women without the necessity of the commitment of marriage. That's tragic. And, of course, it's disobedience to God. Letters keep coming from both men and women who are in a quandary about how one ought to move toward marriage. While I was sitting here rereading some of them, a man phoned with a question about the subject. I wonder what's happening. Why so much confusion? Well, here's one of the letters. I'm a male Christian who needs help. I just ended a long-term relationship with a non-Christian girl. I made plenty of compromises during those years, and by God's grace, I hope next time will be better. I read your book, The Mark of a Man, and was shown things I never knew before, which blew my mind. I'm excited about the idea of sharing life with a girl in a way which would honor Jesus. At the same time, I get scared about making bad moves, when to initiate, and financial fears about supporting a family if I'm a missionary, which at the moment I'm being directed to. These things may seem silly, but they're real to me. Could you address some issues which could benefit us guys who see marriage as a blessing and not as years of imprisonment? Well, I'm surely glad that there are some guys who see marriage as a blessing and not as years of imprisonment. But let me assure you that the questions are not silly to me. Far from it. They are vital questions. And I'm glad there are men to whom they matter enough to pray about them and ask counsel for. I think one reason for confusion is the notion which arose before the men who are now in their 20s and 30s were born about the equality of the sexes. It's a word that belongs to politics, but certainly not to courtship, a realm which concerns human beings in their entirety. Another reason for confusion is misunderstanding the order which God established in the beginning. I've tried to explain that divine arrangement in two books, Let Me Be a Woman, which is on femininity, and The Mark of a Man, which is on masculinity. If men would be men, women could do a better job of being women. And vice versa, of course. You women who are listening, we need to be as womanly, as feminine as we can be. And the more womanly and the more feminine we will be, the more manly and the more masculine will men be. But the buck really stops with the men. What does it mean to be a man? Christ is the supreme example. He was strong and he was pure because his sole aim in life was to be obedient to the Father. His very obedience made him most manly, responsible, committed, courageous, courteous, and full of love. A Christian man's obedience to God will make him more of a man than anything else in the world. Now consider these qualities. Responsibility, at the top of the list. A man must work out the salvation that God has given him with a proper sense of awe and responsibility, Paul said in Philippians 2. For it is God who is at work in him, giving him the will and the power to achieve his, that is, God's, purpose. Man was made to be initiator, provider, and protector for woman. The next quality, commitment. He's got to be a man of his word, no matter what it costs. My father's strong counsel to my four brothers was never tell a woman you love her until you are ready to follow that immediately with, "Will you marry me?" In other words, a man's love for a woman, if deep and abiding, leads to a lifetime commitment to her. Many heartaches would be avoided if men held back any expressions of love, and that means not only verbal but physical, until he is ready to make that commitment. Once promised, he never goes back on that word. The next characteristic, courage. A man has to be willing to take the risks of rejection. She might say no. The risk of blame and all that commitment costs. Then what about courtesy? A Christian's rule of life should be my life for yours. A Christian man is concerned about the comfort and happiness of others, not of himself. He's not seeking to have his own needs met, his own image enhanced, but to love God, to make God loved, and to lay down his life to that end. In small ways, as well as great, he shows the courteous love of the Lord. Purity. He must be master of himself if he's to be the servant of others. This means buffeting his body, bringing it into subjection, as Paul did. It means restraint, discipline, the strength to wait. It means an utter yielding to the will of God, as revealed in 1 Corinthians 6, 12-20 and 1 Thessalonians 4, 2-8. As I have heard the sad stories and studied what I call the dating mess of today, it seems to me that men have generally overlooked another vital matter which ought to precede all overtures in the direction of a prospective wife. If we assume that a man is an adult when he is 18, or 21 at the latest, he should by that time be giving marriage serious thought. He should get down to brass tacks with God to find out if this may be part of his agenda for him. This will take time, and it might help if during this period he just simply quits dating and starts praying. As long as the answer is uncertain, don't date. Does this sound extreme? Well, it wasn't my idea. I learned it from a group of young men who chose this way. It's a guaranteed way of avoiding sexual activity, which is always illicit outside of marriage, and you know that, and of preserving one's wholeness and holiness. I urge you to trust God. Many years ago, I had the tremendous privilege of listening to Gladys Aylward, an incredible tiny woman from London. She was a parlor maid. She went to China by herself, across Europe and Russia on a train with one suitcase with an umbrella and a frying pan strapped to the outside. She didn't have any money. She didn't have a mission board behind her. She didn't know where she was going. But she went to China, and after she'd been working there for about 6 years, singly, a married couple from Britain came out to work on a station nearby. She saw that they had something very wonderful, which she had never even thought of missing. She began to pray that God would give her a husband. And being a no-nonsense sort of a tiny little woman with a stentorian voice, she told me this story as we spoke in private conversation. She said, "I prayed that God would call a husband for me, a man from England, send him straight out here to China, and have him propose." I will never forget the ending of that story. Gladys Aylward and I were sitting on a sofa in Canada, She leaned toward me with her snapping black eyes, and she waggled her tiny finger at me, her index finger, and she said to me, "Elizabeth, I believe God answers prayer. He called him, but he never came." There's something to think about. Perhaps God has called you to be a husband, and you've never done it. Has it been out of fear? Has it been literally because you couldn't find the right woman? If God calls you, God will lead you. But you have to be open. You have to be listening. You have to be in prayer. And believe me, God does know how to answer that prayer. God loves to answer our prayers when they're in accord with His will. I urge you to trust God. He wants to give you the best. He will help you. He has promised to guide. He knows what you need. Ask Him to show you whether, when, and whom you should marry. And remember, don't be alone in this prayer. Ask counsel of your spiritual superiors who are wise, who know how to pray and how to keep silence. Take their counsel seriously. If they have suggestions as to a possible mate, take those very seriously. My own parents prayed for godly spouses for all six of us and actually named before God the very people that four of us married. Will you trust Him? God bless you.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.